Greetings and welcome to Mater Dei Radio. I'm Dina Marie, and today we have an opportunity on our Lenten journey together to continue our conversations with some of our seminarians at the various seminaries that our archdiocese sends them to. One of them is there in Rome at the North American College, and we have the opportunity this year to be, Lord willing, ordaining one priest for the Archdiocese of Portland, and that is Deacon Dustin Bussey, and he is currently in Rome continuing his formation process. And as we are in the Lenten journey, what a beautiful time to be in Rome, to be really preparing for the priesthood. So we wanted to get Deacon Dustin with us for a little bit to share today. Good afternoon to you, Rome time. Good morning, Mater Dei Radio time, Deacon Dustin. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dean Marie. It's really nice to be with you today, and I'm excited to see where this conversation goes.
Well, let's begin with the Lenten season, and just we enter into it with, of course, Ash Wednesday. But I know for those in Rome, because you have those ancient churches that are surrounding you, talk a little bit about what you've experienced and the visit of the station churches, just some of those traditions that have been going on for centuries for the Christian people.
Yeah, thank you. It's really one of the really special things that we get to experience as seminarians here in Rome is this stational liturgy. You know, as you've mentioned, we're surrounded by hundreds, literally hundreds of basilicas here in the Eternal City. And each of them has its own significance in the history of the church. But in a particular way, during Lent, we get the opportunity to visit these stational churches, which some of them go back to the very beginning of the church here in Rome. And so it's just really amazing to see the history and the tradition of our Catholic faith as we journey through the season of Lent, going through all of these various churches. Now, not all of the original stational churches that were gone to in centuries past, we don't have the opportunity to go to all of them still, but we replaced them with other equally, you know, significant or beautiful churches. I would offer one really beautiful takeaway that I've taken from this over the years getting to go to these stational churches is the connection to even the liturgy that all of us practice, even back in Oregon. In a particular way, one of the Eucharistic prayers that we use, the first Eucharistic prayer, is the oldest Eucharistic prayer that we use in the church, and it's often referred to as the Roman Canon. And so in the Roman Canon, it's the one where you'll hear the priest go through a litany of all these different saints, Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, Marcellinus. They'll go through all these male saints, their popes, and then various martyrs, and then there's a whole list of female saints. What you notice when you go on these stational churches is that Roman canon is a list of all of the saints of Rome. You'll go to the Church of Peter and Paul. You'll go to the Church of Cosmos and Damian, of Anastasia. Just in that first Eucharistic prayer in the Roman canon, when we're going through the litany of the various saints, now that I've been through the station churches here in Rome, I can visualize the church that is associated with each of those names as it's going through the canon. Now, not every single name in the Roman canon is a church in Rome, but a significant number of them are. And so it's been a treasure to get to see the way in which the practice of the faith in Rome, in this case, the tradition of the stational churches, has actually impacted the way that we pray the liturgy throughout the whole world.
We're talking with Deacon Dustin from the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon, currently studying at the North American College in Rome, and a beautiful time during this Lenten journey. And Deacon, as you've been able to get out, and I know some of our prior seminarians talked about there's more pilgrims coming, there's a little bit more of an openness to travel about now with some loosening of restrictions. What has been your sense of just the prayer of the people? How have the people responded to their prayer life? What have you really seen of the faithful that you encounter in your daily walk in Rome?
Yeah, that's right. I would say slowly but surely, we're getting back to normal here in Rome. And so while Rome is one of the most popular tourist destinations in the world for people of all walks of life, it certainly is a focal point for people for pilgrimage. And one of these times where you see a heightened number of actual pilgrims, religious pilgrims in the city, is during Lent. And we get to see that in a beautiful way in these stational churches, in the tradition that the North American College has of inviting people to join us for these various liturgies. We see college students from all over the United States who are coming here to Rome to study, but also get to experience a little bit of the tradition of the church here in Rome. And they come and join us in this stational liturgy as well. So you get to see a lot of the youth, the future parishioners, hopefully back home that are studying abroad. We get to join with them in prayer. Maybe people who have retired and are now have a little bit of free time, and they come to Rome to do this pilgrimage during Lent. And so they join us as well. So you might encounter people from all walks of life and all backgrounds and all parts of the United States or the world around who are here to enter into prayer in this season of Lent and to draw close, to be close to the heart of the church and to be close to all of these wonderful saints that we get to go to visit and to pray for their intercessions during this period of Lent.
Right, right. And Deacon, because you are a deacon right now, just what has been the opportunity of just participating in liturgies to be involved in a particular way as a deacon in this season of Lent and even before Lent? Just how has this been an opportunity for you to really live out this piece of your vocation?
Yeah, it's been a great experience to be an ordained minister here in Rome. During the regular year, I have an apostolate where I get to go and do catechesis, but I also have the opportunity to deacon at Mass, to preach throughout the year. Because of the vast number of religious organizations, pilgrims, and various people in Rome, we get, as a deacon, various opportunities to lead Holy Hour. So I'll have the opportunity, I usually go about once every 2 weeks to a religious community and lead a Holy Hour. So I get to expose the Blessed Sacrament and do benediction and these types of things, which are kind of a new and unique role for deacons here in the city. It's been nice. And then in terms of the station churches, we have many deacons here at the college, so we're all kind of vying for an opportunity to serve at Mass. So you don't get a lot of opportunities, but we did, the Portland guys did get to all serve together this past Saturday. Father Randy Huang, who's living at the other residence here in Rome, he was the principal celebrant at the station Mass on Saturday. We all kind of joined together around Father Randy, and I got to deacon at that Mass. And then we had Justin and Brent serving, and our new seminarian, Tristan Schupert, was the lector as well. So we were able to kind of fill in all the various functions of the liturgy that day. And that was really special to get to have Portland be present and be an active part of that stational liturgy.
It's so great to hear, Deacon, just that bond, that fraternity, that brotherhood that you all continue to build in your formation. And I love to hear it just as you share these stories. And I do have a few more questions I want to ask. We're coming up to a break. So, Deacon, would you please hold on? And then we'll come back with you at the other side of our break.
Perfect.
Good morning. I'm Dina Marie with Mater Dei Radio, and we are back with Deacon Dustin Bussey he's over in Rome. What a great opportunity for us to connect with our seminarians who are in priestly formation. And again, a reminder for all of our listeners to continue to pray for our archbishop, pray for our priests, pray for our seminarians, and pray for that one man right now who is just listening. He's just distracted, but the Lord is calling him that he will listen and hear the word and say yes. Deacon Dustin, we were talking a little bit about the Lenten season and visiting station churches and just the beauty of the liturgy. And just as you walk through this Lenten season, how are you approaching it maybe different this year as you are a deacon in preparation for priestly ordination? Is there something particular that you really want to use this Lenten time for your own formation?
it is different. It's unique in this way, and that a certain respect, as I draw close to the end of my priestly formation, I've been at this now for 8 years. There's a sense of, it's a little strange realizing it's like, this is the last time I'm going to be going through this as a seminary. The next time I do this is going to be, God willing, as a priest, and the experience will be completely different. So I've really been trying to step aside and kind of the way that I'm approaching this Lent and the way that I'm entering into prayer and being intentional about being grateful for everything that has been provided for me to get me to this point. I've been carrying all of you back home in Oregon in my prayers, all of the family and friends and benefactors have supported me up to this point. So there's a great sense of gratitude to the Lord for where I'm at. And so as we enter into Lent, you know, this past weekend, during the first week of Lent, we see Jesus go into the desert to go away. And there's a real sense in even the drawing away a little bit, drawing back and being reflective and allowing the Spirit to guide us and to see our spiritual life, the way that we're living our life in a different lens. And that's what I've been trying to do here in Lent, is just to kind of analyze where I've been, how I've got here, and what's to come, and just giving thanks to God for all of it.
Yeah, it's I think that reflection and that taking time to stop and to really listen to the Lord, listen to the word of God speak through us. We know that you had an opportunity with five, and then Archbishop traveled on pilgrimage and an opportunity to see a Marian site, going to Our Lady of Knock. Give us a little sense of maybe some of the highlights of coming together as a group of men forming for priestly ordination. Of course, Father Randy was with you as well, and Archbishop, but just that time on pilgrimage together.
Yeah, it was really a privileged time. And it's a time that we are very intentional about taking. We try to do it every year among the Portland men here. You know, we're so far away from home. We're in the midst of a very large population of seminarians here at the North Bergen College. And so it's important to us to develop these relationships and bonds between each other, to kind of just as a sign of support and fraternity, but also to help each other grow in holiness and just to grow as good, hopefully, pray God, as good future priests for the archdiocese. And so to develop those bonds now means a lot to us. And so to go on pilgrimage has been something we've been trying to do for ever since I've been here in Rome. And this year we had the wonderful opportunity of joining Archbishop Sample on a pilgrimage to Ireland. I had never been to Ireland before, so I didn't know what to expect going there. I had always heard stories that I grew up with an Irish priest, so all he had ever do is tell us stories of Ireland. So it's kind of neat to see have some of that come back. It's always on pilgrimage, you got to have a destination and hopefully an intention that you're taking with you. And this time in Ireland wasn't just the destination, it was the apparition site of Knock, which I really had no real understanding of before getting there. And it was just in such a wonderful and surprising way, just really beautiful. The simplicity of the shrine, even the simplicity of the apparition. No words were spoken, silence. And so it was really something that struck me this year. Was it's been a part, it's something that the Lord's put on my heart throughout my prayer life over the past year, is this being comfortable in just silence with Him and with Our Lady in my mental prayer and in my time and at adoration, just allowing myself to be in silence and comfortable in that silence. And so it was neat to have that connection with the apparition of Knock as well. To when we got there, it was like to be there with my Archbishop, my shepherd, to be there with Father Randy, someone who I've been with in seminary for 8 years and watched grow into the wonderful priest he is now. And then to be surrounded also with my brothers here in formation at the college, just to be sitting there in silence together as brothers, as sons, as worshipers of Christ, also devoted sons of his Blessed Mother, Mary. So it was a great experience to be there at Knock. A graceful time for sure.
Yeah. I think a lot of times, Deacon, we think we see our priest and we just see the priest, but we might not realize that brotherhood, that fraternity, that he represents all of the priests, really in all of the world, that have made a yes to Jesus, and that you do need that fraternity. You do need that community of priests. And that starts the first year at seminary. I mean, those relationships begin that first year you enter the doors and then continue to grow. You know, on a pilgrimage, you never know exactly what's going to happen. You might have an itinerary and it changes. You're not sure of the meals, where you're going to sleep. There's a lot of unknowns. How did you guys approach just traveling together, six guys, getting to kind of know one another in a different way?
Yeah, actually, every year we have one guy designated who's kind of our travel guide. So he's going to be responsible for making all the little details come together. And this year it was Brent Durschmidt. He did a great job of kind of organizing a lot of those details for us. It's an adventure because you just never know what the Lord's going to send you. And that's part of the excitement or the fun of a pilgrimage is that, and really the spiritual life in general, it's always kind of like a microcosm of everything. It's like this kind of abandonment. It's like the Lord's going to provide ultimately for us in this. And he's going to send us his spirit. He's going to give us the strength to get through any kind of challenges or consolations. And there's going to be a profession or whatever it is, the different things that can happen on a pilgrimage. You know, in years past, guys might have forgotten a passport. Maybe they had to run back, or, you know, there's been issues that have happened in the past. This one went pretty smooth, all things considered. And it actually was really beautiful. Sometimes there's things that you can't plan for that just happen. And this year, an example of that was our one plan really was we're going to go to Knock and we're going to stay in Galway area. But we happened to meet a classmate of Brent's who lives in that area, who was home on vacation. He treated us to breakfast, which was just really wonderful hospitality by an Irishman there. And then in our conversation, we found out that he knew or had connections with the Silverstream Abbey in Ireland. And he was able to make contacts for us to go and to visit that priory, I think is what they call it. And the opportunity, it just kind of presented itself. You know, the Lord gave it to us, so we took it, and it just ended up being another layer, another moment of grace in that trip that was unexpected, but the Lord provided, and through other people in the church, as he always does.
And he does. He provides when at that last moment where we're not expecting it. So he is the God of surprises. Amen.
Yeah.
As we've got just a moment left, Deacon, just anticipating these next few months, that final preparation in your heart, you know, how are you really trying to prepare yourself for the priestly ordination again, Lord willing, in the month of June, that we have the opportunity to receive you into the church as one of our priests?
There's, of course, the practical things that we've been preparing for throughout all of my formation. You know, the seminary provides various means of preparation. So we're starting to do some anointing of the sick, or we're walking through how confession works and how to lead in confession. So all these kinds of playing through hypothetically how these are going or practicing these things is making it become very concrete for me. In my prayer life, in my spiritual life, a lot of it has been trying to just to quiet myself and to draw close to the Lord, because I know that as much as I've been preparing in a human way, he's going to prepare me and fill in all the voids the many voids that I have in my life to kind of strengthen me and to make me into the kind of priest that he wants me to be. And so I've just been preparing as best I can during this Lenten period. And I'm looking forward on Easter week, I'll be doing my canonical retreat. I'll be doing an 8-day Ignatian exercises in preparation. So that's pretty close to the proposed date of ordination. So it'd be nice to have that time to really step back and to go through a canonical retreat. I'm excited for that as well.
Well, we're excited for you, and we're excited for the church. The church is alive. The Lord is so awesome. And what a great gift for us to continue to pray for those in priestly formation. Again, Deacon Dustin with us from the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon, studying in Rome. So please pray for all of our seminarians throughout this Lenten season. And again, thank you, Deacon Dustin, for joining us today. A final message that you'd like to share with our listeners back home?
just know that I think I can speak for my Seminarian brothers here and throughout the United States. We are so grateful for all the listeners to this program and to all the archdiocesan parishioners who have prayed for us, supported us, both spiritually, financially, however you're reaching out and supporting us and other men and women who are discerning their vocations back in the archdiocese. Just thank you for everything that you're doing. I encourage you to keep it up and to know that we're praying for you and that we're so grateful to have you in our lives.
We are grateful for you. Thank you so much, Deacon, and you have a blessed Lent.
All right. Thank you. You too.